Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon to you, Sanela.
Good afternoon, my elder. How are you?
Very well, man. Thank you. Long time no speak.
Yeah, it's been a while. I'm happy to hear that you are still alive. And
man. It's been a minute indeed. I hope you've been keeping well.
Fundamentally, yeah, it's been good. You know, life has its seasons.
There are more
blessings.
Ah, lovely. Well, great to hear that. Now, today we want to talk about the practical survival as a Christian. But life gets messy. I mean, you mentioned that just now. But we're not left alone to figure it out in the dark. The Bible is a real world guidebook packed with stories of regular people who faced exact same struggles, heartaches, and choices that you and I make every day. Now, want to study in today's lesson, and Mr. Gumede here is going to be helping us to see how this ancient book can guide our modern lives right at this age. We're in 2026, so we've got to make sure that we try to find a way to get a guide from this book. So, Sanele, how much do we really have in common with the people we read about in the scriptures? I mean, some of them are giants of faith, and some of them are supervillains. Either extreme can feel, either one of these extremes can actually feel unrelatable. Mm-hmm. Can we really say we're the same, truly?
Hey, my elder, this is has been a long ongoing conversation in my family as well, if we're the same or not. Look, maybe it's not a binary either or conversation, perhaps. Right? Maybe there are similarities and there are differences. So I think for us, when you read the people, some of the things of the Bible, some of their lives, starting from the beginning, some parents had issues with their children, like Adam and Eve, right from the beginning, a wayward child killing his own brother, you know. You've got parents today who've got children that maybe have gone wayward. You have stories of parents in the Bible that struggled to have children, for instance. Those are some issues that we are facing today. So you have people in the Bible, widows, for instance, who lost their husbands. You have people that are going through the same thing today. You've got people that are fatherless, for instance. You have people that are sick, you know. So, and then you've got rich people. The rich young ruler, for instance, is a good example. You speak of your Abrahams of the world. You've got scholars, you've got doctors, the Lukes of the world.
Yep.
So both the favorable and the unfavorable is seen in the Bible as we see it in our lives today. So there are things that we can relate to. There is maybe a story for another day, for instance, perhaps for me that I'm studying now. Around what I may call main character syndrome, where, you know, when you read the story of the three Hebrew boys, you come out of that story saying, you know, if I go through fire, or God will protect me from going through fire, or from Daniel, God will protect me from being eaten by the lions, but also forgetting there's a story of Stephen. The story of all the disciples except John the Revelator, you know, Jesus himself, you know, striking that balance, for instance, in the Lord's will. But the long and short of it is that you find some similarities and some stories are extreme, but that doesn't also prohibit us from experiencing those extreme experiences with God.
You know, you're talking about these stories. I was telling somebody about the story of the man who saw the angels going into somebody's house, and they came in there to say, "Hey, give us those men."
Yeah. And, we don't want your daughters.
Yeah. Like this guy is saying, no. These guys are special visitors, guys. You can't do that. I'm going to give you my daughters.
I
don't think these days we can get somebody who says that. Well, but hey, one would never know. Now, why do you think the Bible is about regular human beings like you and me?
I think it's mainly because of the experiences they went through in the Bible. Similar to the examples that I've just mentioned now, looking at, you know, children, not having children. And the funny thing, by the way, in some instances, it says the Lord is the one that closed the wombs of the mothers, you know. And that's why even when I pray for someone who's looking to have children and has had issues, one of the things we pray for is that to say, Lord, if it's the case that you are the one that closed the womb of this mother, because we've got a reference point in the Bible, for instance. So there are those things that we read about, you know, betrayal. We read about it a lot. There's Madlanga Commission that's going out there. So it's not a new thing. As you're saying, those visitors, we've got, you know, similar instances today. And I think for me, that's why the Bible is relatable. Because if you want to talk about romance, another topical discussion today, maybe we are Christians, we don't watch TV. You know, there's a series called The Polygamist, for instance.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I found out that literally, is it five generations after Adam and Eve? Mm-hmm. That's how old polygamy is.
Yeah.
It's not a new phenomenon. It's not a unique African phenomenon. So the Bible is relatable. And that's why, for instance, I'm on this mission of saying whatever topical discussion there is, because there's a brother who said, you know, sometimes often as Christians, whether we're talking about land, whether we're talking about polygamy, whether we're talking about illegal immigration, all these things, in my view, there is a view. As Christians, we should not be found silent whenever there are topical discussions happening. There must be a biblical reference point. And there isn't a topic under the sun that we cannot find reference for in God's word.
I like what you just said, that there is not a topic that we can't find a reference for. I mean, truly speaking, there is not. I quite believe that. Now, is there a faith exemplified in the scriptures also accessible to us in this present day and age? I mean, that kind of faith was big. I mean, for a gentleman to go out and say, I'm going to kill my boy now, and truly actually go through only to be stopped by God, that's big faith. can we access that kind of faith in the present day and age?
There isn't a verse that says we cannot. There are multiple verses that we read about where Jesus makes an example of the faith of the mustard seed. There's so an asking for anything in Jesus' name and believe. I think from an accessibility perspective, it is there. And funny you mentioned that, because again, that's one of my current studies to say. What I've actually learned is that perhaps for us as Christians, there is a belief that there is something we ought to do. Love and faith, I've learned, and it's a common verses in the Bible that speak about faith is a gift from God. Love is a gift from God. So perhaps instead of us trying to merit faith or merit love, we need to understand that we need to pray for God to bestow it upon us. Because I think we're doing it the other way around. It's similar to, you know, when Jesus says, you know, I like this expression we say in church or slogan that says, lift up Christ and tell the world. Sometimes I think we get these things around. We rush to tell the world, but we don't lift up Christ. And we can go to town in terms of what that means. Yep, and maybe that's why we are losing more people than we are losing more members than members that are actually giving themselves to Christ, because perhaps you got the formula the wrong way around. There's less lifting of Christ, but rather going to tell the world. We may think so it comes back to those things to say, what do we need to sit back and ask ourselves, why is it? And that was the thing that made me even look deeper into Bible study. You know, you read about the book of Acts of the Apostles written by the prophetess Ellen G. White. You read about the book of Acts, you know, how they were martyred. You read about your Martin Luther Kings and so forth and what they did. And it bothered me that in my worldview, at least, maybe it's happening somewhere, but why are we not seeing that level of faith in our lifetime? You know, so it is accessible. The Bible tells us that it is a gift from God. Then we can pray for it. It was not limited to the patriarchs of the world or the disciples. As Jesus' disciples today, we need to pray for that level of faith. And it is promised in the book of Joel 2:28 that in the last days, the sons and daughters will prophesy and the old men will dream dreams. And we know for a fact that we are indeed living in the last days.
Yeah, perhaps this kind of faith will have to begin with me and you, because we have not seen it. And maybe we may then have to to display that kind of faith. I don't know how we can actually do this, because it looks like quite big. But hey, as you say, God is able to actually give us these things. Now, lastly, in what way is the Bible a guidebook for the Christian?
You know, an answer to this question is, it's not, it, we can talk the whole day and whole night about this. And I think the easiest way is to give a testimony about my life. I grew up in a tough neighborhood. You know, there's even a song about my township, Gwamashu, for instance.
Yeah.
When you see me today, abantu bathi sanele usweet, you know. When you grow up in an environment where the sound of a gun is something you hear when you wake up, when you hear when you sleep, it's a different experience. When you wake up in the morning, you're seeing blood in the streets. You're seeing someone's bank card, and you can see this is a lady's purse that has been flung out. And the one thing that I tried to investigate, and the one thing that made me different from the people of my neighborhood or my friends, was that every Saturday morning, I would be carrying my Bible and going to church.
Yeah.
I went to the same schools. We ate the same food. We played soccer together. Went to the same schools. The only thing that made me different, and that I believe that has kept me till today, is living according to God's word. And that's the one thing that I can say. For instance, if you live a principled life, in the Bible, you find so many things. You find things about health. You find topics about childbringing. You find topics about how to be a good husband, how to be a good wife. There's topics about education. There's, as we've mentioned before, and just like Solomon says, and even in the New Testament, we read that the Bible is relevant for every life situation. And for some of us who grew up without fathers, for instance, the Bible is one thing that gives you direction, you know. And they say that majority of people in the prisons in South Africa and in America come from single mother families, because there's a missing piece of fathers missing in the families, or single-parent-headed families. So for us that come from a disposition, or multiple dispositions, if I may, that are negative, the Bible is the one guidebook that can help us to navigate life. It tells us where we come from. It tells us what God's intention is. It gives us purpose, so that you transcend from just existing to living, so that by the time, you know, you're old, you reflect and you say, I have lived. And it would all be because of the fact that you are guided by the principles of the Bible.
Guided by the principles of the Bible. Now, how would you want to then summarize today's lesson before we leave you?
One of the things I'll say, especially as Africans, living in Africa, considering, you know, different parts of the continent. You know, there was a time where certain things were not accessible to us. You know, right now, for instance, there's a book that I was reading. It's not a spiritual book, but it's a book about, it's called Psychology of Money, for instance. It says the topic of money in America is only 50 years old in terms of financial management. And when you think about us in Africa, democracy is 30 years old. So we make a lot of mistakes because some of this knowledge has not been passed down to us by, you know, our parents, our parents' parents. The Bible is a book that can, one, tell you where you come from, who you are, where you belong, and how you ought to live your life. So you don't have to wonder. I feel a lot of us, maybe we may be praying more than we are reading, and we're saying, no, you know, I've not heard from God. And that's one of the arguments points in my family, to say, you know, the people of the Bible, they heard directly from God. You know, they heard a voice from God, but we are not hearing that today. And the counter argument is, but the word, the Bible is the present live word of God. So if you really want to hear God, read the Bible more. And I promise you, I've seen and heard him speak to me in ways that I've never heard him speak in the past. When I have more questions, when you treat it like the man who found treasure and sold everything he had, when you treat it like a minefield where you can mine and get precious stones, that's when God starts speaking to you, and you're not using it as a tick box exercise, but you really want to hear him speak to you. He gives you direction, and he leaves you having hunger for more. You know, you can't wake up in the morning, you can't go to the next chapter, you can't, you know, especially with AI today, that has made Bible reading and research so much more fulfilling. Those are some of the things I would wish and pray that we, let's use these tools to unearth. Probably in a year's time, I'll be speaking Greek, my elder.
Ah, lovely.
I'll be speaking in tongues.
Yeah, man. Oh, fantastic stuff, man. Man, we want to thank you so much, Sanel Gumede, for coming through, speaking to us. And, of course, we're going to be connecting with you again tomorrow at the same time and same place. Thank you so much for coming through.
It's been a pleasure, my elder. Thank you.
Lovely. Goodbye.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.